In the field of education, the same is true in the kingdom of God. Amen. You know your audience. Hallelujah. I know that there are those of you tonight that are struggling. I know that some have victory. Can you say amen? Some of you are new. Some of you just need a touch of God, need a spirit that God can revive you. And God's going to do just that tonight. Can you say amen? One of the first miracles that occurs in the life of a sinner, amen, after the first miracle of salvation. Salvation is the first miracle. And the second is that you would become a true worshiper of God. Amen. You come into church tonight, maybe you see people clapping their hands. That's not necessarily worship. You might see people moving around, or, you know, we do that to worldly music. Can you say amen? But to become a true worshiper of God. Do you remember how you were before you came to Christ? Amen. Before we came to Christ, we were, people say, busted and disgusted, going through problems, probably brokenness. And all of a sudden, people look at you and they say, how is that brother worshiping God? How is she in church? Like, how is that person really, how are they so different now? And it's a miracle, amen, that we are in this place today, because without the grace of God, we still be out there on different things. Hallelujah. And one of the things that begins to go from our life when we begin to veer from God is a heart of worship. I've seen it time and time again. When you have victory, you want to worship God and sing. You're crying, amen. When you want to go backwards, or you got things twisted in your mind, you don't even want to worship God any longer. And what the devil wants to do is rob you of your worship. Amen. I'm a simple man. I love the Lord, but my worship has not changed from the moment I got saved until now. I'm still a vibrant worshiper of my God. I want to read you a quote. This is the late 1990s renowned gospel singer Matt Redman. His home church was going through spiritually tough time. The worship band was making influential songs for the local church, nationwide, worldwide songs. Yet Redman recalled there was a dynamic missing. So the pastor asked the congregation, what are you bringing to God in worship? Or are you just here as consumers soaking up the music? And the point was that the band had lost their way in worship. Beautiful songs, you know, you can jam out and you can have the airways full of beautiful music, but yet there was no worship to God. There was dryness in the people. There was no true vibrancy in their spirit. And so the pastor said, we're going to remove all the instruments. We don't want any of that. We're just going to, you know, have worship. And so the first worship service, they're there, and it was like crickets in there. Amen. And you can tell the spiritual pulse about people. Amen. About how much you worship. Are you alive or dead? I travel lots of places, and this is not something you can fabricate. When a person truly is a worshiper of God, or when a congregation has worship in there, amen, you can kind of almost measure the spiritual thermostat of that place. Hallelujah. They say, man, they got some vibrancy, man. It seems like they're in love with God. They have communion with God. Wow, that's awesome. Hallelujah. And so he said there's no instruments, and all of a sudden the people, they started, you know, going back to their first roots. They started getting connected with God again. They finally put the instruments back again, but by that time they had a revelation that worship is not just a song you sing, but it has to do with your heart. That's why I wanted the pastor to play that song tonight, because that is the issue. Hallelujah. John Piper declared, the engagement of the heart in worship is the coming alive of the feelings and emotions and affections of the heart. Where feelings for God are dead, worship is dead. Hallelujah. And so let's go to John 14 in our Bibles. John 14. Hallelujah. John 14, The text we're going to read, we find, amen, some dynamics of worship that Jesus is going to highlight. Amen. He is going to encounter a woman who is not a worshiper of God, but she becomes one. And through what God does in her spirit, listen to me, and revival encompasses so many things, but at the end of all of this, amen, that revival in your city could be kindled. Amen, because of what God initiates in you, what God inspires in your spirit, amen, that would begin to overflow and touch other lives. And that's what happens through a woman who has an encounter with Jesus. John 14, beginning verse 19. If you're there, say amen. The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you say, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him." Verse 24, "God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called the Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." Let's pray tonight. Can we have praying hearts tonight? Let's have praying hearts. Let's lock in tonight. Let's let the Spirit of God help us. Precious God, we come by the blood of Jesus. God, we're committing this service to your hands. Right away, we stand against every opposing spirit. Oh, precious God, we ask that your dominion would be established. We pray that you would open hearts. We consecrate this service, even this altar, unto you. Let your anointing, God, break yokes. Let clarity in preaching, God, be here tonight to bring salvation, healing, and deliverance, we pray. In Jesus' name, the people of God say, amen. So let's talk about an encounter with the Messiah. Obviously, I'm not the Messiah. Can you say amen? Let's lock in. Let me have your eyes. Amen. Let me have your eyes tonight. Let me just do this. Amen. Amen. Can I have all your full attention tonight? Can you say amen? I'll give you texts and you can read those, but I want us to lock in because God wants to help this church. Can you say amen? I'm not the Messiah. I'm just a simple man preaching the message of Jesus. Can you say amen? And so we can have an encounter, amen, with the Lord and with his presence. And the moment that that occurs, everything in your life will change. The woman in our text is in focus. She's clueless as to who she's talking to. She has no idea. Amen. Amen. She was religious. She had an understanding of religious things. She said the Savior or the Messiah is coming. Amen. I know Messiah is coming, who's called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. And Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." He says, listen, you know about the religious things. You've been taught about some things, but you're talking about the Christ incarnate. He's right in front of you. Others that encountered Jesus, amen, were divided in their thoughts concerning him. John 7, quickly, 42, 43, and 46. Therefore, many from the crowd, when they heard this saying, said, "Truly, this is the prophet." Others said, "This is the Christ." But some said, "Will the Christ come out of Galilee? Has not the scripture said that the Christ comes from the seed of David and from the town of Bethlehem, where David was?" So there was a division among the people because of him. Verse 46, the officers answered, "No man ever spoke like this man." Amen. And so this is how most people are today in our world. We have a religious assent. We have a knowledge of God. We've been taught certain things. We have an mental understanding, amen, but no revelation of God. Amen. And in the same way that the idea or the reality that Messiah is coming, it wasn't fully understood by this woman. Amen. Many don't understand that the Christ is coming. Hallelujah. In her time, it would be the first time that Messiah would come. in our time, the last days, it'll be the rapture. Amen. And what we know, and tragically, amen, if Jesus were to come tonight, many would be left behind. And so, amen, an encounter with Jesus, amen, can bring clarity. And when there's clarity concerning Jesus in your life, amen, is when the transformation can come in your life. Every evangelism endeavor that we do as a church, you witness, you pass out flyers, you knock on doors, you give your testimony, you do everything in hopes that people, amen, can understand the central issue of salvation about who Jesus Christ is. We're not talking about how great our church is, even though it's a great church, not about how great our fellowship is, even though it's a wonderful fellowship, amen, but our central focus is about connecting people with the Christ and understanding who he is. On their first encounter, Jesus attempted to help this woman's understanding. They're at a well. Jacob's well has lots of understanding. Amen. He asks her for water. She gives valid reasons why she shouldn't or why she shouldn't give him water. And Jesus begins to stir something on the inside of her. He makes a request from her. But then, and she wants to deny that, but then he says, you don't want that, but he says, I have something that's better. If you knew who it was who asked this of you, then you would have asked of him, and he would have given you what you've been lacking this whole time. If you knew who it was that was really speaking to you, amen, and he's stirring something, making her miss out, if you will, a little bit, I'll give you some living water. He wasn't referring to this H2O, amen, but spiritual fulfillment. The point of this is it wasn't just any ordinary encounter. When you encounter a person that doesn't know the Lord on the outside, it shouldn't just be an ordinary encounter. Can you say amen? When you're witnessing, when you're sharing your faith as you're living for the Lord, when they come in contact with you, it shouldn't just be this run-of-the-mill kind of conversation, but there should be some revelation and a life that's lived that can begin to stir something inside of those people. Hallelujah. She was speaking to the anointed one. Jesus says, I am he. Hallelujah. And so, Jesus was the one who would take the sins from the world. Amen. My sin and your sin. How many got sin today? Raise your hand. You got some sin. I'm saved, but I'm not perfect. I don't live in sin, but you got some sin that you need to deal with. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And so we're talking about the anointed one, the one by which your sins can be healed and forgiven, amen, and be made white as snow. Hallelujah. And so Christ comes from Christos, it's a Greek word. It means the anointed one or the chosen one. Jesus asked his disciples, who do men say that I am? Peter got a revelation that comes from God, not by the flesh. Amen. Peter responded, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Hallelujah. Just before Jesus is going to be crucified, the high priest demanded, tell us if you're the Christ, the Son of God. They always wanted to know, are you the Christ? Are you the one? Luke's gospel, amen, records Jesus casting out demons. The demons recognize his position, his authority, his lordship, his role. Amen. You are the Christ, the Son of God, the demons cried out. And Jesus rebuking them did not allow them to speak, for they knew that he was the Christ. Old Testament records, amen, predictions of the chosen one or Messiah coming that's going to save the world. We have prophecy from the book of Genesis, amen, as the devil tempts Eve, amen. God says, well, there's going to be a seed of a woman that's going to break the head of the serpent. In other words, there's going to be a redemption that's going to come. There's going to be a salvation that comes. We have from the Psalms. We have from Daniel. We have from any places in the Bible that lead us and talk about the Christ. Can you say amen? And so the studied people and the taught people would have a ready knowledge of this. Amen. Some of you in my audience have no idea what I'm talking about. Others of you, you're well schooled. You say, I already know this. This is old hat, this old information. We are well studied. We understand about the rapture. We understand about the end times, that Jesus could come back at any moment. Amen. And so we should be waiting for his arrival. This woman in her mind somewhere was waiting. She says, I know that Messiah is coming. Amen. And we should know that Jesus is coming for the church. Can you say amen? And so what do you need tonight? Not just religion, not just another sermon, not some, you know, finagling of words or manipulation of words or some emotional challenge, but what we need is the visitation of God's Spirit and an encounter, amen, with God tonight. Hallelujah. And so the aim, amen, of this is to connect you to the Messiah, the Christ, the Savior, to Jesus, because he can give you what you need. Amen. Thank God for healthy churches. I'm still measuring. Amen. Not in a negative way, but I need to have the mind of God to minister. Still measuring. Amen. What's going on here? The health. Amen. Of God's people. Amen. I mean, people need a healthy church. And people can get a certain thing as they come to a healthy church, but a healthy church has Christ as the center, amen, and as people come into this place not knowing God, amen, they can have an encounter with Jesus, they can have an encounter with the presence of God, and they can get the fulfillment that they actually need. We can't give false promises. Amen, you're a visitor tonight, and you're in great need. You need something tonight. You've been saved a little while. You need something. I want to declare to you that if you come to Jesus, he'll give you exactly what you need. Hallelujah. Living water, deep soul satisfaction. It doesn't come from relationships. Say, you know what? I think I'll try a new relationship. I think I need another girl. I think I need another guy. I think I need more accolades. I think I need more study. I think I need another degree. I need more this, more that, and that doesn't even fulfill you. If it fulfilled you, then why do you need more and more and more and more and more and more and more? And this woman's encounter with Jesus would shift, hallelujah, her entire life. That's how important this is. Amen. You say, oh, this is just a church service. Yeah, an encounter with Jesus can shift your entire life. And again, this is not just for the new person. And you've been saved a while. God still wants to make more shifts and shifts and shifts in your life. Amen. And her encounter with Jesus for the first time shifted her entire life. Can you say amen? So that's why it's important to give people more than just come visit my church. Amen. But we need to connect people to Jesus, because that will be when the real shift happens in their life. Hallelujah. And so at the well of Jacob, she would find inner peace. Does anybody need inner peace tonight? Amen. She would no longer devalue herself in meaningless relationships. She would come to grips with things about herself that she hadn't realized before, perhaps never dealt with. You know, there are things that we don't deal with in life. Is there an authoritative figure in my life that can cause me to reflect and deal with who I am? Amen. Oh, no, you can't tell me anything. I can live my own life. I can do what I want to do. Amen. But she came in contact with Jesus. Amen. With truth incarnate. Can you say amen? The word made flesh. Amen. And now she's having to see her face. She's having to deal with who she is as a person. And you say amen. And so God will deal with us at church. Thank God, Pastor. Everybody say, thank God, Pastor, for preaching to me. Everybody say, thank God, Pastor, for preaching to me. Amen. Help me to deal with my stuff. Hallelujah. And she would gain, amen, a revelation about God that she never had. Amen. Glory to God. And we can read about her today and say, wow, you know, what happened to her? Maybe the people in her community could say, man, what happened to, I don't know what her name is, but I'm going to call her Sharika. Amen. Anyway, what happened to Sharika? Amen. I mean, I was Sharika, Faquana, Fatima. I have all these weird names. What happened to Sharika? You remember she would never come to the well when we went to the well? You remember she would always do stuff separate and be hiding and this and that, and she had a reputation and whatever she had going on. But now look at her. Can you say amen? What happened in Sharika's life, amen, that she became a worshiper of God? What happened in your life, amen, that you are a worshiper of God? And so we're talking about revival, amen? Not just a series of services, but we're talking about how what God is doing in you can overflow and touch other lives. Can you say amen? And so the shift that occurred in her life caused the whole community's life to be transformed. The testimony of one woman, amen, began to shift something in the hearts and lives of other people. Amen. We learned that these people left pagan practices. They turned their hearts to the one true God. There's only one true God. John 4, 29 through 32. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified, he told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. Oh, man, would you stay? Would you instruct us? Would you give us some teaching? Would you please stay? Would you help us? Would you give us some more encouragement? And many more believed because of his own word. Then they said to the woman, now we believe, not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Hallelujah. So you want breakthrough in your life. I know every congregation I pastored for long 2006 to just about a year and a half ago, been an evangelist for only a year and a half. I know the heart of pastors, the heart of congregants that labor alongside. You want to see vibrancy. You want to see families added. You want to see lives transformed. I know that's part of our prayers. Part of it is about your story and what God is doing in you and you being faithful to God no matter the situation that you're facing in a day or any given time. And so the one encounter that this woman has included the most important topics that any God seeker can have. Amen. Maybe tomorrow, perhaps I'll do a testimony sermon. You don't want to miss if I do that sermon, I guarantee. Hallelujah. And you want to invite as many people as you can to that. Amen. But I remember growing up in brokenness and perversion, lots of things. I'm not going to get into it. But I wasn't always seeking God. We weren't always God seekers, right? We were seeking something else. We were sniffing the wind as the wind blew. We were chasing things we shouldn't have been chasing. Ain't that right? Isn't that right? But something happened that caused us to begin seeking God. Amen. And if you're here tonight, it's because you're seeking God. It's not just because, you know, that you just decided to come. Someone invited you. God draws us by his spirit. God sets the members even of a place. Amen. But God puts something in you to say, man, I think I might need a solution. And I want to tell you that God is the solution. This woman, amen, she has an encounter with Jesus. She wasn't seeking God at the moment, hallelujah, but Jesus begins to have a conversation with her concerning all things that have to do with worship. Worship is important, very important in life. So let's transition and talk about the questions of worship. Everybody say the questions of worship. Do you have any questions about that? Any questions? Question here, question there. The first question, amen, is who are you worshiping? Who are you worshiping? The second question is why are you worshiping who you're worshiping? Amen. And Jesus to the woman, verse 22, he made an emphatic statement, almost a statement that would be like, how could you even say this? Like, you're arrogant. You think that you have some kind of hold on God. Jesus says, you worship what you do not know. We know what we worship referring to the Jews, for salvation is of the Jews. A lot of people don't know what they worship. We grow up in religion. Our parents teach us religion. You know, and then we're worshiping God, or we hope it's God, right? We hope it's the creator. Amen. And, you know, people worship religion or according to religion or according to their church. I was thinking about the Apostle Paul. You know, this man was, he excelled more than his contemporaries. Don't have time for all that. But he has an encounter with the Christ, with Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, on the road to Damascus. Amen. He knocks him down. A great light comes. And even Paul, Saul at the time, he said, "Who are you, Lord?" He didn't even know who Jesus was. And Jesus says, "I'm Jesus, the one you're persecuting. How long are you going to be fighting against me?" He was very religious, but yet didn't even truly have a relationship of God, with God. The woman brings to light, she says, "Well, I'm Samaritan, you're Jew. We don't have any dealings with one another." Amen. There was beef between the Jews and the Samaritans. There's religious beef in our world, isn't there? Amen. There's been religious wars and religious division even today that people are going through. Hallelujah. Amen. The northern kingdom, amen, known as Israel, fell to the Assyrians. They began to have intermingling in marriage. Amen. They began having children out of that. The Samaritans are birthed. Amen. The Jews from the southern kingdom or Judah, amen, they said, "You guys are unclean." Amen. That you have syncretic type of worship. You have some of God's ways of worshiping, but you've now coupled that with the worship with idolatry. Therefore, we have no dealings with one another. They're separate. Amen. And so we, as in some of us present tonight, professors of religion, students of religion, have come to know who we worship. Have you come to know who you're worshiping? Do you know who you're worshiping? Amen. Hallelujah. But the Jews, they specifically knew who they were worshiping because God began to magnify himself and God began to identify himself and make himself known in the earth as he moved through these people, the Jews. They became a testimony people. We have the promise from Deuteronomy 7. The Lord did not set his love on you nor choose you because you were more number than any other people, for you were the least of all peoples, but because the Lord loves you and because he would keep the oath which he swore to your fathers, the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of bondage, from the hand of the Pharaoh of the king of Egypt. And so salvation being of the Jews can have great significance for you. God made a promise, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Abraham is the father of our faith. If we're in Christ, we're seed. Can you say, man, we have the promise? But God said, I'm going to magnify myself through one populous group, one particular nation, amen, and I'm going to break the superpowers of the world. And because you have victory against all odds, amen, people are going to know that the God that you serve is God. And so salvation being of the Jews has great significance, and it forces us to consider two things. Hallelujah. The first is the heart or the root or the why of our worship. Hallelujah. And it begins with a revelation of God. If I know who God is, that's where it begins. Amen. And people that are in relationship with God, they worship him. Can you say amen? Are you in relationship with God? If I'm in a relationship with him, I worship him in covenant. I follow clean lifestyle, consecration, holiness. There is love, loyalty, and enthusiasm. Hallelujah. Your worship with God should be an enthusiastic worship. Can you say amen? If you don't know him, how can you be enthusiastic about worshiping God? Can you say amen? He say, why are they acting like that? Now, you know, why are they doing that? It's because they're worshiping the God that they know, and we'll talk about some reasons, but they have a revelation about God and who he's been in their lives. And then it continues with gratitude. People, amen, that worship God are always thankful for what he's done in their lives. And this is the crux of everything, amen. For the Jews, it had to do with their deliverance. Everybody say that word, deliverance. You know, going to places and preaching in different churches, you try to get the mind of God. Lord, what should I minister? It's very difficult. But on the bare basic level, everywhere you go, people need to be saved, they need to be healed, and they need to be delivered. Can you say amen? For the Jews, hallelujah, their worship stemmed from the idea, amen, that God Almighty had delivered them. Hallelujah. You delivered us from the Pharaoh. Hallelujah. And so Jacob builds a well. Amen. And the people that has lots of revelation there, but the people that had built a well, amen, they would go to that place in remembrance. They were thankful for the well. They were thankful for the covenant that God had made. Amen. And Jesus said to the woman, "You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is of the Jews. You've been coming here all this time looking for natural water. You have no idea about the significance of this well. But we know, because this is Jacob's well. We know the revelation behind this. We know what it means. And it's time for you to come now to this place with revelation and understanding, not just out of tradition, amen, but understanding all of the implications for that." Hallelujah. And so it's impossible to come back, amen, to something that you never had in the first place. The moment that you forget the why of your worship will be the moment that you start going backwards. Can you say amen? Saying that song, heart of worship, I'm coming back to the heart of worship. You know, it's all about you. I'm sorry, Lord. You can't come back to something that you never had in the first place. We can teach people how to clap their hands, can't we? He said, "Everybody clap your hands." Everybody kind of sway to the side a little bit. You can teach people that, but that doesn't constitute worship. Can you say amen? And so the second thing that is forced, understanding the salvation of the Jews, amen, is how does this God that saved the Jews and delivered them, amen, how does this relate to me? How does it become personal? Amen. What implications does that have in my life? And so tonight we're having a conversation, amen, the same conversation that Jesus had with a woman at a well. Hallelujah. And the third question for God seekers is, amen, the where to worship. Is there a valid place to do this? Throughout the Bible, we see God instructing the people of God to worship in particular places. Exodus 3:12, so he said, "I will certainly be with you, and this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain." New Century Version, God said, "I will be with you. This will be the proof that I am sending you. After you lead the people out of Egypt, all of you will worship me on this mountain." God says, I'm gonna set you free. 400 years, you've been crying out for deliverance. It was physical, but it was spiritual. And he tells Moses, after you deliver them, you're going to come back, and all of them are going to worship me on this mountain. They spent about 3 months, amen, learning the ways of God, learning how to worship on that mountain. Amen. Hebrews 10:25, New Century. "You should not stay away from the church meetings as some are doing, but you should meet together and encourage each other. Do this even more as the day is a coming." It's coming. Now, here's the woman at the well. This is her declaration. Verse 20, "Our fathers worshiped on this mountain, and you do say in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship." Okay? So for the Samaritans, they considered Mount Gerizim to be one of the holiest places, of their primary place of worship. It's believed that Mount Gerizim was the location, amen, chosen by God for a holy temple. And Jesus retorted, and she says, the Jews said to do so in Jerusalem. Now, why is this? This is Deuteronomy. This is the command in Deuteronomy 12:1-5. These are the commands and the laws you must carefully obey in the land of the Lord, the God of your ancestors, has given you. Obey them as long as you live in the land. When you inherit the lands of these days, you must completely destroy the places where they serve their gods on high mountains and hills and under every green tree, tear down their altars, smash their holy stone pillars, and burn their asterisk idols in the fire. Cut down their idols and destroy their names from those places. Don't worship the Lord your God that way, but look for the place the Lord your God will choose, a place among your tribes where he is to be worshipped. Go there. And so Jerusalem is often associated, amen, with the Temple Mount, the holiest site in Judaism, believed at Mount Moriah, Jerusalem's location where Abraham was going to sacrifice Isaac. And so there's this conversation about where to worship. Should you worship on this mountain or should you worship in Jerusalem? Where should you worship? Amen. And Jesus brings a correction to the error. Verse 21, and he said, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. In other words, he's saying you can maybe worship God in any place. Can you say amen? Worship God here, worship God there, worship God. And he's talking about the spiritual significance that worship transcends a location. Can you say amen? It's not just if you're there or here, but you can worship God in any place. Amen. We worship together. Can you say amen? I read Hebrews already. Don't forsake the assembly. We're worshiping God together. Can you say amen? You know, a lot of times I'm this way. I'll be out in public, and I'll just be walking. And then I'll say, oh, thank you, Lord. People think I'm crazy sometimes. They say, he kind of crazy. I said, no, I'm just giving the Lord thanks. Amen. They say, I start singing, bless the Lord. You know, I'm just rocking and stuff. They're like, what's wrong with him? They think I'm kind of cuckoo. Does that ever happen to you? People think you cuckoo? If it does, then why not? Amen. People, they be out there singing, the Mariah Carey songs and, you know, the Bad Bunny songs, and they just be getting it. God is good. Can you say amen? How many of you spend time worshiping God at home in your house? Do you worship God at home or is it only at church? Huh? Do you worship God only at church or do you worship at home? You know, there's stress in your house sometimes because you don't worship at home. You come to church, it's the only place to worship. You got to have a place at home to worship. Can you say amen? I'm telling you, when the devil starts trying to mess with my house, this is what I do. I go to my front door and I'm just talking to the Lord, but I'm pushing out the devil. Devil, I push you out. You ain't finna have nothing in my house. And I start worshiping and singing and praising God. And all of a sudden, a kind of peace comes to my house. Can you say amen? So we should worship God in any place. Can you say amen? And the fourth question, amen, is about the how to worship. Hallelujah. And I believe this is important because it affects everything about your person. And this is, I'm going to talk to the older saints here. Newer converts, but older saints. Your level of victory depends on your level of worship. Can you say amen? See, I know that you've been serving God for a while and things happen in your mind and all that, but your level of victory depends on how much you worship God. When everything's good, bless the Lord, oh my soul. Hallelujah. And then as soon as, you know, you get a flat tire. As soon as, you know, Pastor, you need a miracle, some kind of miracle, you're not getting it. They say, what's wrong with brother, man? Okay, I have a testimony of being kind of, you know, whatever. And so my pastor, you know, he saw me one day. I sit here. This is my seat in my home church. You sitting in my seat. You getting some of my seat anointing there. That's my seat. Amen. After you going to be doing. Amen. So my pastor, he's preaching. And he's looking at me, and I got my head down, this and that, you know. And I mean, I wasn't defeated, but he asked my wife, he said, is everything okay with Noor? Because he's never that way. He's looking at me. He's trying to, a shepherd knows the condition of the flock. Can you say amen? Why isn't he worshiping? What's wrong with his worship? Where's the joy that he always has? So, you know, my pastor's trying to figure out, you know, are you everything all right? I say, Pastor, I'm good, man. I'm good. You feel like giving up? You just need to worship. Lift up your hands. You're going through marital problems. Lift up your hand and worship. Going through financial problems. Lift up your hand and worship. Can you say amen? And so is there a proper way? Hallelujah. And the simple answer is yes. With everything that you have. Can you say amen? Not half-hearted, but with everything you have. Deuteronomy 6:5, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. I have a Muslim background. I was Muslim. I'm a Christian now. But when I came to Christianity, and specifically to one of our congregations, I was a part of a gospel choir back in the day. And so, you know, I'm moving around. And I'll just say it like this. Black people move differently than, you know, I mean, everybody moves differently, amen, but black people, you know, they be like, you know, it's just different, you know, and this is not a race thing, but it's just, you know, whatever, you know, ooh, you know, and so I'm worshiping God, and I started to show y'all a video, but I was like, you know, just getting it, and the worship leader, I was in worship, and he would look at me, and he would come and try to tame me down. He said, you're moving too much. I said, I don't know any other way. Now, don't start climbing on chairs and, you know, and all that crazy stuff. But worship God with all you got. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And I believe that worship, amen, is a natural response to what God does in your life. Can you say amen? It's a natural phenomenon. So the first miracle is God saving your soul. He opens your heart to receive his word. But all of a sudden now, naturally out of that, you become a true worshiper of God. You say, man, God's good, man. And you just begin to testify of his goodness. Exodus 15, 1 and 2. Then Moses and the children of Israel sang this song to the Lord and spoke, I will sing to the Lord. For he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, I will praise him. And then here comes Miriam and all the prophetess with their timbrels, and they're dancing around. We don't do all that here, amen, but they were dancing around, and they were singing their song, and they were so excited that God delivered them from Egypt. Can you say amen? Has anybody been delivered from Egypt? From the old life, the old perversion, the old bondages? Does your worship show that? Does your life show that? Is there vibrancy coming from you? Let's bow our heads tonight, amen. The hour is coming, and now is when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. Worship with your words, worship in tongues. Fall down before him. Lay your burdens before him. We're just beginning tonight. This is a simple service, but what we're believing for is a visitation of God tonight, where he can begin shifting things. And sometimes things happen rapidly, but sometimes it's over a course of time. But tonight, Your situation can change, whatever it might be, and no matter what level of you, spirituality you might find yourself, it can shift tonight. But we must call upon the name of the Lord. Must call on him. Someone invited you here tonight. Maybe you're not a Christian. Maybe you attended church a few times. Maybe you grew up in religion, but you've never known God. Maybe you've never had a relationship with God. That can change tonight. God can forgive you of any sin you've committed. He can cleanse your conscience. He can remove guilt and shame from your life. He can restore identity to you. Hallelujah. And the simple gospel message is that because of sin, there's a separation between us and God. But because God loves us, he made a way for us to be redeemed. And that's through the blood of Jesus Christ. The Christ, the anointed one, the Savior, the one, the Lamb who takes the sin from the world. One drop of blood from Jesus, amen. That sacrifice, if you confess Jesus with your heart, believe that God rose up from the dead, the Bible says you will be saved. And this is the grace of God. And so you're here tonight. I would count it a privilege, amen, to lead you in a simple prayer. You're not a Christian, or maybe you served God at one point, but you find yourself away from God and you want to be reconciled. If you were to die today, you want to be certain that your sins are forgiven and you want prayer tonight. If that's you, while every head is bowed and every eye is closed, just do me one thing. Just lift up your hand and hold it there where I can see it. Just lift up and say, you know what? I want that prayer. I want the forgiveness. God bless that honesty. Amen. How many others tonight? You're here. God drew you here and he wants relationship with you. You want prayer tonight. You say, would you pray with me? I want forgiveness. If that's you, you can put your hand down, sister. How many others? Amen. How many others? How many others? Hallelujah. How many others? Be honest with God. That one encounter with Jesus shifted this woman's entire life. The brokenness was removed. The uncleanness, all the things she was dealing with, mind, all the things, amen, were healed in her life. And God wants to do the same for you. Amen. I'm not going to hold it much longer. This is the most important time of our service, giving people an opportunity to respond to the gospel. If that's you, I want to pray with you. Amen. Sister, you lifted up your hand. Amen. You lifted up. If you lifted up your hand, did you mean that with all your heart? Yes, I want you to come. Amen. Others, you didn't lift your hand, but you want prayer. I want you to come right now. Come right now. Amen. If that's you, I want you to come. Hallelujah. God bless you. God bless you, sister. She's gonna pray with you. She's going to lead you in a prayer. Others of you, God's dealing with you. I know God's dealing with you. I can sense it. Come. God drew you tonight because he loves you. Amen. If that's you, amen. Amen. My brethren in the Lord, amen. You're here. I'm not certain where you are spiritually, what is your temperature, what you have going on in your mind, but you need to make a recommitment to God. You need to be redevoted to God, amen. Bring your burdens, your struggles, your worries, all the fears, whatever you might have, bring it to God. Trade all that in, amen. Let's worship God at the altar, amen. Let's sing a song of worship. Let's flood the altar. Come out of your seats. We're going to believe God to move by his spirit tonight in a supernatural way. Music fades and all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's a word that would bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. It's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I have made it. When it's all about you, yeah, it's all about you. King of endless world, No one could express how much you deserve. Yeah, though I'm weak and poor, all I have is yours. Every single breath I'll bring you more than a song.
Come on.
For a song in itself is not what you search much deeper.
Lift up your hands, come on.
You search much deeper within. For the way things appear, you're looking into my heart. I'm coming back out of worship. When it's all about, oh God, when it's all about, I'm sorry, Lord.
Music.
I'm coming back to
the Come on, sing.
When it's all about, yeah, it's all about.
I'm sorry, Lord.
Sing from your heart. Yeah, when it's all about, oh God, when it's all about. I'm coming back. When it's all about you, yeah. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I have made it. When it's all about, yeah.
One more time.
I'm coming back to the heart of worship when it's all about, yeah.
Now make it a declaration. I'm sorry, Lord.
It's all about, it's all, yeah.
Let's just worship God. You keep playing there, keep playing. Let's worship God.
Play gently and softly. Hallelujah. The Jews worshiped the God that they knew. And the issue was he delivered them. Our deliverance today is not a deliverance from physical things. There's principalities and powers. There are unclean spirits that you invite in your life. There are doors that you have opened or that we open. You know, you have to invite unclean spirits. With your free will, you invite things. You have vices or things you begin to give yourself to. Amen. And so the God of all creation, who's all powerful, says, I can deliver you from anything. Whatever, it might be a perversion. It could be a sickness, whatever it might be. But God can deliver you tonight. And so when God delivers you, then you're like, oh, my God, he's the God of deliverance. And you say amen. And so you're here tonight and you need deliverance. I don't care how long you've been saved. New believer, not even saved. New believer, you've been saved. You need deliverance tonight. I want you to come make a line right here. Let's come fast. Let's do this. I don't care what it might be. God's going to help you tonight. Any kind of bondage, any kind of perversion. It could be any kind of sexual sin. It could be a vice. It could be bitterness in your heart. Unless you need to come, you can come. That's okay. I want you to come. Hallelujah. God's going to bring deliverance. We do, we're going to say a mass prayer, but I'm going to lay hands. God's going to touch you. He's going to move by his spirit. Bondages will be broken tonight. And your declaration will be one of worship to God. Oh, my God, I can't believe. And that will keep you at all times. Listen, whenever I've gone through it, I remember how God delivered me and how powerfully he did a miracle in my life, and I'm still free today. So I'm going to consecrate the altar first with a prayer. Then I will lead you in a prayer. And then I want you to say, with my free will, I close the door to X, Y, and Z. Whatever thing you're dealing with, I close the door to this, I close the door to that. And then I'll lay hands on you. And when I lay hands, the Spirit of God's going to touch you. God's going to bring deliverance tonight on your life. Amen. All right, I'm just going to pray first, and then I'll lead you in a prayer. Amen. Precious God, we are consecrating this altar to you. Lord, you are all powerful. Lord God, we need you. We call on you. You are the almighty creator. You're the mighty deliverer. You're the mighty healer. You're the savior of our souls. Oh, God, we call on you right now. We invoke your name. You say, if you call on the name of the Lord, you will be saved. God, we need your salvation. We need your deliverance. Help us tonight. I want you to say, lift up your hands to heaven. Lift up your hands to heaven. Lift up both hands to heaven and say, God in heaven, on this night, I need you to help me to close the doors that I have opened. I recognize that my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, meant for righteousness and clean things. All unclean things do not belong to me. And with my free will, I make a vow that I will serve you and that I will honor you in my body, in my words, and in my actions. I close the door. Now I want you to say what it is. I close the door to whatever it might be. I say it out. I close, and you can whisper that thing. God, I close the door to this, and I close the door to that. In Jesus' name. Now we're going to begin praying. Hallelujah. Father, by the blood. Loose him right now. I break the curse. Loose him right now. Every unclean spirit must go in Jesus. Loose him right now, Father. Loose him right now. Even breath in your lungs and even a new song in your spirit. I shall be the uplift of your head, and all shall know that I'm the Lord thy God. I shall give you a new pep in your step. Indeed, it is the Lord thy God who is encouraging you in your spirit, in your innermost person. I shall give you a confidence that you've never had. Shebe kandayakai, a joy that will flow from your life. Kebe ketashatahaya, and even your circle of influence, I shall influence them and I shall move them. She be so in Jesus' name. Shorebeka, loose it right now, Father, by the blood. Shorebeka, loose it right now. I command every tormenting thing to leave in Jesus' name. Father, by the blood, rest upon him. Sheakandebeso, loose by the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, by the blood. Loose it right now. Loose it right now, Father, by the blood. My child, the Lord would say, but faith in me is not a natural thing. Set your eyes upon me and know that I'm the Lord thy God. I am the healer of your life. I am the restorer of your life. Look to me, says the Lord thy God, not to the left nor to the right, but understand that I'm in front of you and I'm with you, says the Lord thy God. I shall give you a faith that would even move mountains, says the Lord thy God. Only trust in me and know that I, indeed, the Lord thy God, am he who talked to you, who touches you, even on this night for deliverance. In Jesus' name. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Magnify his name. Hallelujah. Hands uplifted, everybody. Hands uplifted really quickly. Hands uplifted, everybody. We're going to pray a prayer of devotion to the Lord. A prayer of devotion. I want to be totally and fully and wholly devoted unto you, my God. Say these words. Oh, God in heaven, check my spirit. Help me, oh, Lord God, in my mind. I reject the assault of the enemy against my salvation. He shall not rob my testimony and my story and what you've done in my life. I shall be forever grateful. On this night, I make a prayer and a vow of devotion. I shall live for you for the rest of my days. Help me, O God, and keep me by your spirit, I pray in Jesus' name. Now speak to the Lord. Worship him in English. Worship him in tongues. Shit-di-di-ta-ta-ta-ra-ba-ta-ya. Amen. Hallelujah. God's good. Amen. I'm not going to hold you too much longer tonight. We'll continue tomorrow. God willing, he gives us life. Invite someone. Can you say amen? Church is always better when sinners come in or people that don't know the Lord. Can you say amen? And how powerful is it when you invite someone, they come to church, and the same God that saved you and delivered you, they come and get helped. It's nothing better than that. That's our reward. Can you say amen? And so do all you can to bring somebody to church. If you can pick them up or if you can encourage them with your testimony, God did this for me. This is who I worship. This is why I worship. And let's fill the house tomorrow. We're going to pray for many things tomorrow and believe God to continue moving in this place. Let's worship the Lord as the pastor comes. Father, we bless your name. We magnify.